Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 3, verses 21 through 22. It is the baptism of Jesus. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Today I want to talk about label. The label that I have, sometimes I make myself, and sometimes people make one for you. So let me start with my labels that I have. So as we have been together for 8 months now, I think you know me a lot. Maybe some of you want to call me steak. But just for your information, steak is not my main food. So, and another one, call me the pastor. I'm the pastor of this beautiful church, Wesley United Methodist Church. I feel really so blessed and honored to be with you, especially when you invite me to many important moments of your life, when you share your story and ask for the prayers and support. That's the blessing. I feel really honored that way. So the pastor, that is my label. And I'm a husband to my lovely wife. We have been friends for 24 years now and married for 13 years, 10 months, and 23 days, and a few hours. We have been through so many highs and low moments together, and she calls me honey. That is my label. And I'm a friend. I'm a friend to many people. And I didn't say I'm a good friend. I just said a friend because I don't know what they are thinking of me. So I will just go with a friend. So that is my label. They call me Paul, Brew, or Buddy. And when I went to Garrett Seminary in Evanston, Illinois, I was working for an institute, and my job was to deal with some people, some media. So my boss, he did an interview with famous, well-known pastors and professors, and my job was to do videotaping and editing and have it on the website. That was my job. And one day, we interviewed the Bishop Tremble, who was the bishop of our neighbor conference. It was really good. Fantastic interview. And after that, we made a good conversation. Oh, he was an awesome guy, amazing guy. And 2 weeks later, I met him again. I was really excited. So, all right, hello, Bishop Tremble. How are you? And he said with a big smile, "It is so good to see you, Steve." Steve was my label. Let me ask you, what are the labels do you have? I mean, you have. What are the labels that somebody else has given you? It might be not just about who you are or what you do for a living. So is it something that you welcome and you love? Or is it something you feel vulnerable when you hear that because that just reminds you of something you don't want to remember? What are they? When we are labeled by what we love and care, I don't think that's going to be a problem. But in our real world, sometimes we are labeled by what we do. Or, more specifically, we are labeled by what we have done before or what we produce. Sometimes that's really hard because that just, I mean, we just begin to be labeled by our appearance, our productivity, or our possession. Maybe your house, your car, your work. Then you are by what you produce, not really who you are. And let's think about some people. Some people that we all know. How about Steve Jobs? Okay, it's about that. How about Steve Jobs? When you think about him, you automatically think of some MacBook or iPhone or iPad, right? Or you may think of his black engine. That will come into your mind. How about Elvis Presley? How about Beatles? I know many of you like them. How about New Kids on the Block? My generation. Yes, you will think of their famous song. Are you singing now? Are you humming? And what about Martin Luther King Jr.? When we think of him, we automatically think of social justice and nonviolent protest and radical love. Yes, that's really precious legacy we have from him. But he also mentioned a lot about our identity. He said, we are prone to judge success by the index of our salaries or the size of your car or your house rather than by the quality of our service and relationship to mankind. He talked a lot about the labels we have. When things go well, when we produce more and more, we feel so proud of ourselves, thinking, yes, I'm good. How awesome I am. And you know what? I feel the same. I feel the same. So when we have more people in our worship and Sunday and in our ministry, I don't speak out, but I feel like, yes, we are good. Lord, thank you. This is so cool. It is something. But when I see less number of people in the worship and in ministry, I feel like, oh, what is wrong with me? That is me. In our denomination, every year we make once a year the statistic report. That has a lot of number, average attendance number and ministry number. And some people say, okay, your church is fine. But sometimes I feel like, okay, am I helpful to this church? Am I doing right? That's me. That's me. But when I think about the ministry we are doing, Bible study, and a lot of missions, and seeing you in worship, that makes me smile. Yes, we are good. A lot of up and down, sad moment, I'm just like this. Happy moments, especially you need to come to choir practice and bell choir as well, and a lot of ministry. That's really cool and fun. And we are preparing worship. That makes me really high. Just like this. So many up and down. Oh, yes, so good. Up and down. So many high and low point. These are the labels that I make on myself based on what we produce. And I think we have the same label in our lives. But sometimes what we have done before, maybe many years ago, that becomes a label and that still defines who we are. And I don't know what you think of me, but I think I'm relatively calm. Try to be nice and gentle, but you know what? My wife, she's not going to agree with that. My wife and I, we have been together over 2 decades. She still remembers who I was in my 20s. always, I mean, full of criticism and temper, always speaking straightforward. That was me in my 20s. And I often talked to her, honey, that was a long time ago, 20 or some years ago. I'm not in my 20s, I'm not in my 30s. So please, but she remembers me that time. And she is still talking about that. And that's the label that I have. So whenever I go to a meeting, she often talks to me, Paul, remember, speak nice, don't fight. Sometimes she thinks I'm a fighter. That's the label that I made a long time ago, and that still remains. Then what is the label that I'm supposed to have, that we are supposed to have? And we need to rediscover what our main label is in our lives every day, every day. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, we find the baptism. People, so many people, they came to John the Baptist and they got baptized. And Jesus, we have Jesus Christ baptized by the John the Baptist. And at the moment of his baptism, the heaven was open and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And there was a saying from heaven, you are my son, the beloved. Wow. You are my son, Jesus, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. Can you picture that? Can you picture that? It's a beautiful, delightful, and powerful moment. And I believe in the middle of our struggle, in the middle of our wondering, who am I? That voice, the label, is still valid, not only to Jesus, but also to each one of us. The voice, you are my beloved one. The voice from heaven speaking to Jesus is not just speaking to Jesus only, but also God is speaking to you, each one of you, and me. You are the beloved one. With you, I am so pleased. Can you imagine God smiling at you? That is the precise definition of who we are and the profound label that God has given to each one of you and me. Your label, true label, is the beloved child of God. You may be a teacher. You may be a nurse. You may be a farmer or salesperson or student, or you may have a full-time job or half-time job taking care of your grandchild. That's a really good one. Whatever you are doing, or whatever you have done before, even the things you have not shared with your spouse or friend because you don't want to remember that, this true label, the beloved child of God, is not going to change, and no one can take that from you. A friend of mine, yes, he's a pastor. I have a lot of them around. One day he shared his story. In his church on a Sunday, he baptized a teenage boy. He's in a foster system. So his foster father brought him to the church, and the boy, he wanted to be baptized. How cool is that? Yeah, that's really awesome. So my friend, he read all the baptismal liturgy and baptized him with water and anointed him with olive oil, just like the way he typically does. And as he always says, I mean, during the baptism, he spoke to the child, you are the beloved child. You are the beloved child of God. But at the moment, all of a sudden, he felt his heart warm, and he was compelled by the Holy Spirit at the moment, and he spoke to the child, you are the beloved child of God. Nothing is going to change that. Then my friend, he began to cry. Some of you may know about foster children. Most foster children, they have to be separated from their family for many reasons. What foster kids feel. I mean, they are feeling abandoned, rejected, and unloved, unworthy. And that feeling develops into frustration, hopelessness, and eventually guilty. It was out of their control. They didn't make their circumstances, but they feel guilty. And they begin to blame themselves and take guilty of all the happening around them. When my friend began to cry, the child, the foster father, began to cry too. So he hugged the boy and spoke to his foster child. Son, it is not your fault. It is not your fault. You are beloved. The kid's initial response was, I know. Then the father spoke to him again. It is not your fault. It is not your fault. You are beloved. And the kids again, yeah, I know. The father said again, it is not your fault. You are beloved. Then the boy became upset. I know. Pushed his father a little bit away. I know. But the father couldn't stop crying and said, he hugged him more. It is not your fault. It is not your fault. It is not your fault. And finally, the boy broke down and began to sob, cry. And the moment healing and restoration happened to the boy, then the father took him with his arms and whispers again, it is not your fault. You are beloved. Let me just quote from Martin Luther King Jr. again. He said, you will change your mind. You will change your look. You may change your smile. You may change your house. You may change your car, whatever you have. But no matter what you change, you will be always you. Your identity, who you are, which we talk about a lot. You are the beloved child of God. And I think we need to hear that, remind that again and again, and remind other people of that again and again every day. You know what? I speak a lot of love, love, love so many times. God loves you, God loves you, and you hear that all the time. And we may simply say sometimes, yeah, I know. Just like the boy. And we hear that again. You are the beloved child of God. Yeah, I know. But so many times we don't take it to our heart. But just say, I know. Sometimes we are upset or we don't believe it. But God keeps saying that you are the beloved child of God. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter whether you have a high moment or a low moment. It doesn't matter what other people think you are or even what you think you are. It doesn't matter you are in trouble or not. It doesn't matter you feel unbelievably lonely, frustrated, or your surrounding overwhelms you. You are beloved child of God. That is who we are to God. And that's the good news. That's the good news which Jesus wants to speak to us every day. And that's the good news which Jesus wants us to speak to one another. That's the good news, the love of God. So this week, let's find a way. Let's remind of who we are every day. Let's find a way to remind the people of their identity. The child of God. Nothing is going to change that. Amen.